Building on the foundation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Church of Jesus Christ. Thank you for Jesus being our foundation and for the privilege it is to participate in building upon that. We thank you also for the privilege it is to live here in this country. And we thank you for the foundation of this nation. As we consider how this nation has been built, help us to be a light in this world, to point people to what the foundation ought to be. Please give us understanding as we consider these things this morning, and I pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. At the end of my 11th grade in high school, I was selected to attend a special week-long program in the summer called Boys State. It was a very intense program, and it had a dual emphasis. On the one hand, it had a military emphasis. On the other hand, a civic emphasis. At the end of the program, I was an American, not just by birth, but by conviction. During that time, that week-long time, I understood what our country was founded upon. Understand, this was in 1968. I understood what our country was supposed to stand for. I understood how our country was built and how our country operated. But even as I was awakening to these things, our country was changing. It was in 1954 that Congress added to our Pledge of Allegiance the words, "Under God." But a few short years later, in 1963, the Supreme Court ruled against reading the Bible and praying in public schools. And then 10 years later, in 1973, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of legalizing abortion. Things were becoming unconstitutional or constitutional that our founders never imagined. How could it be constitutional to kill children in the womb, but unconstitutional to read the Bible in school? Our Constitution was changing without amendments, based on a principle of a living document interpretation. In other words, it doesn't mean what it says. It means what each generation wants it to say. In the strong drifting tide of our culture, the church has been swept up in something very, very much like that. In fact, there are many people today that have the same philosophy of interpreting the Bible, that it's a living, breathing document and open to reinterpretation by each generation. I'm going to talk to you about the foundation of the church, and I'm also going to talk to you about the foundation of our country, and see that there might be some parallels between these two things. The church, according to Scripture, is God's building. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "Ye are God's building." 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "The house of God, which is the church of the living God." And 1 Peter 2, 5 says, "Ye also, as living, lively stones, are built up a spiritual house." Well, house needs a foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. We looked at this, I think, recently, but again, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, Paul said, and another buildeth thereon. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. Now, over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, for clarification, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20 says that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The apostles and prophets are part of the foundation in that they were commissioned by Jesus Christ to establish the church in the known world at that time. They did this by preaching the gospel, and there can be no church without the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then it tells us that in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The importance of the cornerstone and the foundation is that the cornerstone establishes the line for the position of the entire building. However you set that cornerstone, from there, the lines are drawn for the entire foundation. Depending upon the position you put that cornerstone, changes the position of the whole building. And then from there, as the foundation is determined, you have the shape of the building, whether it be square or rectangular, or whatever. The shape and course of the church is based upon Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the goal for all of us, it says in Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what the entire structure should look like. Regarding the foundation of the United States of America, they tell us today that it's unconstitutional to read the Bible and pray in public facilities. However, that was not the shape of the foundation of our nation. John Adams, the second president of the United States, said this: suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. Every member would be obligated in conscience to temperance, frugality, and industry, to justice, kindness, and charity towards his fellow men, and to piety, love, and reverence toward Almighty God. What a utopia, what a paradise would this region be. Wow. John Adams. William Penn, you ever hear of him? Founder of Pennsylvania, said this: I do declare to the whole world that we believe the scriptures to contain a declaration of the mind and will of God in and to those ages in which they were written, being given forth by the Holy Ghost, moving in the hearts of holy men of God, that they ought also to be read, believed, and fulfilled in our day, being used for reproof and instruction, that the man of God may be perfect. They are a declaration and testimony of heavenly things themselves, and as such we carry a high respect for them. We accept them as the words of God himself. Wow. How about that? John Jay, first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. The Bible will also inform them that our gracious Creator has provided for us a Redeemer in whom all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, that this Redeemer has made atonement for the sins of the whole world, and thereby reconciling the divine justice with the divine mercy, has opened a way for our redemption and salvation, and that these inestimable benefits are of the free gift and grace of God, not of our deserving, nor in our power to deserve. By the way, he was also the president of the American Bible Society. Can you imagine the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States, president of the American Bible Society? And then George Washington. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Does America look like that today? What happened? Back to the church. The change in the shape of the foundation of the church began very early. Would you go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6? The book of Galatians, of course, having been written in the first century, before 60 AD, in fact, Paul writes in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Preaching another gospel changes the shape of the foundation. And if the shape of the foundation is changed, the entire structure will not be as intended. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Those that would change the foundation are very subtle. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might bear with him. Some people, when they hear the words Jesus, Holy Spirit, gospel, they think it must be good. And don't stop to examine whether it is the real Jesus and the real Holy Spirit and the real gospel. The church cannot be in the shape of God's design if the foundation is in the shape of another Jesus or another spirit or another gospel. What did Jesus look like? I hope you don't have a picture of Jesus, because I can guarantee you it's not what he looked like. The pictures of Jesus typically began in the 6th century. Long hair, brown hair, narrow face, European features, really. But Jesus would not have had long hair. He was not a Nazarite. He did not take the Nazarite vow, which would require not cutting the hair. and dictate long here. No, he was a Nazarene from the city of Nazareth. And look at all of the statues of that time period. Not one of them has long hair. It wasn't just Jesus. It was the Jews. It was the Romans. It was the Greeks. It was everyone in the known world at that time. The men didn't wear long hair. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14, Jesus told Paul to write this. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. Why would he have long hair? And Jesus' hair would not have been brown. The ancient Jews had black hair. That's confirmed by Josephus, a Jewish historian of the first century. In the Antiquities, volume 16, section 8, paragraph 1, the Jews had black hair. And he would have been fairly dark-complected with strong facial features. Go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We're talking about Jesus, who is the foundation of the church. What did he look like? What was he really like? In John chapter 12, verse 37, it says this. John chapter 12, verse 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah or Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? That is a quotation of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. You know the text of Isaiah 53? Then he says in verse 39, therefore they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their hearts and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. That's a quotation from Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 10. Remember Isaiah chapter 6? Isaiah saw who? Saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. What does John say in John chapter 12, verse 41? These things said Isaiah when he saw Jesus' glory and spake of him. Both Isaiah chapter 6 and Isaiah chapter 53 speak of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. That is Jesus, the eternal Son of God. You know what? You want to know what the foundation of the church is like? It's built upon the eternal Son of God, who is accustomed to sitting upon the throne in heaven. Verse 3, and one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jesus is Jehovah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah 53. What is the church built upon? It's built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And what is Jesus Christ like? He's the eternal Son of God who's was accustomed to sitting on the throne in heaven. And this is also Jesus in Isaiah 53, beginning in verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. That's who the church is built upon. But then one more, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13. Revelation chapter 1, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And Revelation chapter 1 will begin in verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. You want to know what he looks like now? Here it is. Clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, his head and his hairs, what color? White like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised when they come face to face with Jesus in heaven. He's not going to look anything like they thought he looked like. But this is the real Jesus, upon which the church is founded, the Lord God Jehovah, the eternal Son of God, the one who suffered for our sins, the one who paid the price for our redemption with his blood, the one who rose from the dead, and the one who lives glorified in eternity. But of course, when we say we want to be like Jesus, it doesn't mean we want to look like him in physical appearance. We want to develop a character that is like his. For he is good, holy, honorable, humble. All these words in Scripture about him. He is just, pure, righteous, upright, compassionate, dependable, faithful, forgiving, gentle, gracious, long-suffering, merciful, tender, understanding, and so much more. That's what the church should look like, built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. This is the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, and is to be the shape of the church. What did the foundation of the United States look like? Once again, John Adams. The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as external and immutable as the existence and attributes of God. Do you hear what he said? This nation became an independent nation based upon the principles of Christianity. Why do we sing more than one verse of the Star Spangled Banner? Because on the third verse of that hymn, Francis Scott Key testified to this: blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Do you hear what he's saying? These men believed God was the one that made the United States of America. Benjamin Franklin: I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. Noah Webster, I often refer to him, you know, his 1828 first edition dictionary. Noah Webster said this: the Christian religion in its purity is the basis, or rather the source, of all genuine freedom in government. And I am persuaded that no civil government of a republic form can exist and be durable in which the principles of that religion have not a controlling influence. John Quincy Adams was the sixth president of the United States. He said, "Is it not that in the chain of human events, the birthday of a nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior? That it forms a leading event in the progress of the gospel dispensation? Is it not that the Declaration of Independence first organized the social compact on the foundation of the Redeemer's mission upon earth? That it laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first principles of Christianity? Was this nation founded on the Bible? Absolutely. President Andrew Jackson, all the way up to the seventh president of the United States, said, "The Bible is the rock on which our republic rests." That was the foundation of the United States of America. Would you know that today of the things that you hear and see? There's a concerted effort in our country to change the nature of our foundation so that they can change the shape of our country. Let us pray that people will be reintroduced to the true foundation of our nation, which requires they be reintroduced to the true foundation of the church. People need to know Jesus. If they were to know Jesus, and if they were to know the Bible, and they were to understand the significance of these two things, they would once again understand the heart of the men who founded our nation. And we would see a different world. We need to pray that our church be firmly planted upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, and that as we grow, as we develop, each of us individually and all of us together, that we look like the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ as much as is possible. And with that testimony, maybe a little bit, we can influence our community to understand what our nation ought to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the founding fathers of our nation, for all the things they believed, and all the things they used. to give us an excellent start. We're not finishing well. I pray for our nation that you would work in the hearts of our people, especially our leaders, to do better. But I pray for our church. I thank you for a group of people who love your word. And I pray that this may always be. That even as you have chosen another man to come in and be the pastor, whoever that may be, he might continue to love you, to love your word, to love Jesus the way we do. And help each of us as individuals to strive towards the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, our foundation. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.